All prophets say, are those who know equal to those who do not know?
The Immortals, a link to the life and works of Persian and Muslim dignitaries.
Fortunate is he who remembers Allah abundantly. Worldly distractions cannot mildly sway his thoughts of Allah and Judgment Day.
In His Name, the Call of Islam radio station presents another edition of the program The Immortals, coming to you from the holy city of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. In this series of the programs under the title The Immortals, we are mainly concerned with the life and works of the most important and the greatest luminaries and dignitaries, the Persian as well as the Muslim, specifically Shiite ones, in the world in different fields of studies. And I would like to welcome Dr. Fakh Rouhani, the expert of this program, to the studio of the Call of Islam radio station. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakh Rouhani. As usual, you accepted our invitation. I would like to thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Dr. Fakh Rouhani, as you know, in the program, The Immortals, we are mainly concerned with the life and works of the most important and the shining dignitaries in the world of Islam. Okay, a Persian or non-Persian one, but we are mainly concerned with them as being Muslim. One of the important and one of the, we can say, greatest characters regarding the field of religious studies is Sheikh Kulayni. Before getting to the life and the details of this, in fact, master and professor of the religious studies and the Shiite studies, I would like to give a very brief analysis and brief summary of where was he born and his birth and family background, and after that we get to a nice discussion regarding his life, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Sheikh Kulayni was born by the start of the imamate of the 11th Imam, which lasted from 254 AH to 256 AH. He was born in the village of Kulayn, about 38 or about 40 kilometers from Iranian city of Ray, which was an important city at that time. His father was a scholar. It's really good to know that his kunya or title or agnomen was Abu Ja'far. Okay, you know, regarding the life of Kulayni, we can say that he is again one of those dignitaries who studied a lot on the hadith and jurisprudence, specifically on the hadith transitions, and most of his books compiled are really shining in the field of hadith studies. Let's know first more, Dr. Fakh Rouhani, about his life, his background, where was he born exactly, what experiences he reached into his life, during his life, through whom he lived, with whom, and after that we'll get to our next topics.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you know, the late Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni was a renowned Shiite theologist and hadith scholar.
That's right.
He has received, due to his academic efforts, he has received the honorary title of Thiqatul Islam, the trustworthy of Islam. I mean, okay. It means that he was a trustworthy person in the academic sphere of Islam. Mm-hmm. So, at that time, in his town, he had access to some ulama, some scholars, and he received his initial education from them. And actually, in history books, we can find the names of up to 36 of his teachers,
that's right,
among whom there were Ali ibn Muhammad al-Samari,
right,
or al-Saymari,
right,
who was one of the special delegates of the 12th Imam.
Okay.
Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam.
It was the fourth special,
yes,
representative or,
yes,
that's right, deputy
delegate
of
Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. The fourth special delegate of,
right,
Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam.
Okay.
And I should like to say that it's a great honor for a hadith scholar to have recognized the period and imamate of an infallible imam, and especially al-Kulayni was very much endowed with this honor.
That's right.
And he was living in the time of those infallible imams and had access to Ali ibn Muhammad al-Saymari,
yeah,
who was the fourth and, in fact, the last delegate of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam.
That's right.
I should like to say that he had several students, but in history books there are names of 15 of his outstanding students. Among them, Ahmad ibn Ahmad, Katib Kufi, and Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, and Abdullah al-Safani.
Right.
Okay, Abdullah al-Safani was a very interesting person in that his ancestor, in the lineage of his ancestors, there's a person known as Safwan ibn al-Jamal. The late Safwan al-Jamal was a person who was contemporary with the 5th and the 6th and the 7th Imams, namely Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, and Imam Musa al-Kazim. And Safwan was a very a pious person in that he was a trustworthy person to the infallible Imams.
That's right.
I should like to add that being grown up in the house of such nobilities is a great honor for a scholar, because such a person has access or is expected to have access to authentic sources,
yeah,
and references. In order to elucidate some points regarding the academic lives and contributions of Shiite luminaries, it's important to know that the late Sheikh Al-Kulayni, Thaghut al-Islam Al-Kulayni, Abu Ja'far Muhammad Al-Kulayni, was referred to as Sheikh Al-Fagaha, the greatest person of the Shiite jurisprudence.
Which shows also one of his greatest, specialties,
yes,
that is jurisprudence.
Okay. Yes, it was, in those days, it was the highest academic ranking and the highest academic degree conferred on any person.
That's right.
Okay. The point is that in those days, Al-Kulayni took a long trip from Ray, from Kulayn near Ray, which are both in the outskirts of Tehran.
That's right. Present Tehran, of course.
Yeah, present
Tehran. Ray on that time, that's
yes,
right.
From Ray, he went to, after receiving some, elementary education in his hometown, he went to Baghdad. He took a trip to Baghdad.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Baghdad was first and foremost the capital of the Islamic Empire of the day, and due to being the capital city, it was the seat of learning and education, religious education, and as well as non-religious education of the day. There in Baghdad, he had access to quite a number of leading scholars of the day, and including, and above all, he had access to As-Saimari, who was the representative of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam.
Okay.
However, in those days, the political situation was in such a way that since the Abbasid caliphs were after finding and killing the 12th, and in fact the final Imam, the final infallible Imam, it was a critical period in that even the special delegate of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam used to apply dissimulation, taqiyyah, in order to hide himself or in order to escape the government police of the day.
Yeah.
Okay? So, for such a keen-sighted scholar like Al-Kulayni, it was very difficult to live in Baghdad, but at the same time to have much trouble in finding the delegate of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam.
Okay.
Due to the eminence of the late Al-Kulayni, the people of Baghdad used to think that Al-Kulayni should be the highest scholar, Shiite scholar, while he himself knew that he was at least next to the special delegate of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam.
That's
because
right.
He was the special delegate of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, and Kulayni was a leading scholar of the day.
Yeah.
Okay. So, due to his academic and religious efforts in dissemination of the Shiite religious and intellectual as well as theological thought, Khulaini received the honorary title of Mujaddid, the revival of Islam. Al-Mujaddid al-Islam,
yeah.
the reviver of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a person who has devoted almost all his life to reviving and to showing the religion of Islam in its full brilliance. Okay,
so this is his, in fact, the third important
yes.
title, and we can say that's right.
Yes,
given to Khulaini.
As you know, in those days it wasn't. I mean, unlike today. It wasn't easy for any scholar to have access to all books, because today, due to the modern technologies, we have access to the internet, to website, to CD-ROMs, and to other facilities. However, since Al-Khulaini was very keen about hadiths and about receiving authentic information and authentic pieces of knowledge as conveyed from the infallible imams to us in the forms of hadiths, Al-Khulaini was a very keen scholar who was always in pursuit of finding quite new pieces of information. It's related in one of the books that once Al-Khulaini was informed that in a city quite far away from Baghdad, there was a scholar who knew some important hadiths. Instead of dispatching a person on his behalf to go to the person in question to receive some instructions or hadiths, Khulaini, while he was the leading Shiite scholar of Baghdad, Khulaini himself took trip to that small town and started learning from that great from that person. Ah. It shows us that the atmosphere of learning doesn't fade away even when a person reaches the pinnacle of knowledge. This is a very important lesson in being always in pursuit of knowledge. As you know, the late Thaghat al-Islam al-Khulaini authored a number of books.
That's right, Dr. Fakhrani. Let's have it up to here, okay? And after taking a break, listening to a religious song, we'll get to the books and the specialties of Sheikh Al-Khulaini, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much. It was a nice introduction to Sheikh Al-Khulaini. Dear Muslims, brothers and sisters in faith from around the world, we'll take a break and back in a minute.
Allahumma salli ala محمد المصطفى حسن الزكي ومحمد المهدي
We are back with the rest of the program, The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. This session of the program, The Immortals, we are mainly concerned with the life and works of Sheikh Al-Khulaini, one of the greatest dignitaries in the field of Hadith studies and Shiite studies. Okay, Dr. Fakhrani, we get to the books and the specialties of Sheikh Al-Khulaini. You know, I myself know, and most of the people know, that Sheikh Al-Khulaini was somehow known and renowned, of course, with the book Al-Kafi. Yes. Al-Kafi was his greatest book. But beside this book, he has also got some other great, great books too. Let's get first to these books, and after that, for more time, we will spend more time on Al-Kafi, okay?
Yes, okay. When I come to think about the great books, such as scholars like Al-Khulaini, developed. I think we can still regard them as topmost examples of scholarship, even in our time today.
Very good. That's
okay. One of his books is Ruqatul A'imma. I mean, the letters penned in person by the infallible imams.
Okay.
Another one is Kitab al-Rijal. Actually, this the branch of Rijal deals with the lives and contributions of hadith transmitters and hadith scholars, and to determine whether the hadiths received through one person can be regarded as authentic or reliable or not.
So you mean the main names and the titles of the transmitters, hadith transmitters, are mentioned in those books in historical form?
Yes, okay. Yes. And another one is Kitab Ta'bir al-Ru'ya.
Yeah.
A book, the book of dream interpretation. And another one is Kitab al-Madh al-A'imma. I mean, the book of eulogies about the book of eulogies on the infallible imams.
Okay.
Okay. And Kitab al-Radd ala al-Qaramata. As we know, the Qaramata, the Karamites, were a group of people. A sect who attacked the house of God, al-Kaaba, in Mecca, and robbed the black stone, al-Hajr al-Aswad, and they kept it. Away from the Hajr al-Aswad, from the Kaaba, for 17 years. So the act of attacking Kaaba, and especially the act of robbing al-Hajr al-Aswad, the black stone, was a manifest example of blasphemy and disrespecting Islam.
In which century did it happen, Dr. Fakhrani, exactly?
Sorry?
In which century did it happen? In which year did it happen exactly?
I think it happened in the time of the Abbasid caliphs.
Okay.
Yes. The later Khulaini wrote books about the blasphemy and the blasphemous deed they committed. However, perhaps even today, the fame of the late Al-Khulaini rests with his Shiite hadith encyclopedia, which is known as Al-Kafi. Okay, the book Al-Kafi is a collection of 16,199 hadiths.
That's right.
And comprising weak and strong hadiths, but no forged hadiths. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no forged or fabricated hadiths in the book. You may appreciate to know that it's frequently mentioned that upon completion of his book Al-Kafi, he received the praise from Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam in that Al-Kafi kafun li shi'atna. The book Al-Kafi is enough for our Shiites.
So you mean the title Al-Kafi, which means in Arabic and the English
equivalent, the sufficient book. The
enough book or sufficient book was given and granted by Imam al-Zaman himself?
No, not the title, but the book received a praise from Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam.
That's right.
And it was enough. I mean, such a short praise from such a great personality like Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam would be the seal of endorsement on the book.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Actually, the book Al-Kafi, containing 16,199 hadiths, now appear in three parts.
Mm-hmm.
Two volumes of the book deal deal with Usul al-Kafi, and in the Usul al-Kafi, Al-Khulaini dealt with the hadiths which were concerned with the articles of faith,
the basics, principles
of faith,
right.
Principles of Islamic beliefs.
Very good.
Okay, the articles of basic articles of faith, and five volumes with Furu al-Kafi on the practical aspects of Islam, jurisprudence or practical laws of Islam, and in the last one, Rawzatul Kafi, I mean, in Rawzat al-Kafi, it's a collection of those hadiths which he didn't mention in the previous volumes. He collected all of them and put them in one volume, Rawzat al-Kafi. Rawda in Arabic means garden, the garden of al-Kafi.
And Furu, okay, which was the previous one, means in English?
Branches.
Branches, that's okay, right. That's
Usul,
right,
means principles, basics.
On the main, that's right.
Yes. Actually, in this way, he assorted the hadiths. I mean, the academic environment of the days of the infallible imams was in such a way that when an infallible imam had an opportunity, the slightest opportunity of answering the queries of those who came to them, I mean, in quest of knowledge, I mean, the infallible imams answered the questions raised by the inquirers. And there were some special scribes or, I mean, companions of the infallible imams who used to note down, to write down both of the questions and the answers.
Okay. Okay.
Without having any time or opportunity to arranging them.
That's right.
The originality and the contribution of the late al-Kafi was that he had full mastery over these hadiths and the context in which these hadiths were issued. He arranged them according to some, I mean, classifications.
Mm-hmm.
And al-Kafi and al-Kulayni's contribution to hadith studies was that his book doesn't contain just an a conglomeration of, I mean, hadiths. Rather, he assorted all the hadiths. He classified the hadiths. So it's a rearrangement of the hadiths without doing any harm to the text of the hadiths.
Was it in the alphabetical order or something like that? Sort of,
no,
that?
Topic-wise.
Topic-wise.
Yes, topic-wise. Yes, he sorted them topic-wise according to general topics.
Yeah.
Starting from general topics, moving to particular topics, or okay, general to particular approach.
And in what conditions such a book was compiled? Was he that much free to have access to all the hadiths of his time through the imams or through the representatives of the imams or through the people on that, or what?
It was very difficult. I mean, the political situation of the Abbasid time was in such a way that when the special delegate of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, al-Saymari, used to apply dissimulation or taqiyyah, and it wasn't easy for a person to have access to an infallible imam. Let me give you an example. Even in the time of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam in Medina, where the situation was more or less moderate in such a way that Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam had some opportunity to teach something to some of his students, even in those days, a person who was in quest of finding an answer to a religious question was directed to Medina to go to meet Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Upon entering the Medina, that person from Baghdad noticed that if he approached the house of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, upon entering the house, the minute he gets out, he would be arrested.
That's right. So okay, you want to say that Sheikh al-Kulayni was not that much free, as you said.
But he was a very zealous person to collect all these hadiths.
That's right. Thank you very much. And nowadays, you know, we refer to al-Kafi as an encyclopedia, okay?
Yes.
And most of the time we analogize the name of the Sheikh al-Kulayni to al-Kafi, and most of the people know him with this name. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani. Now I won't get to his demise. Any concluding remarks of your speech or any missed part?
No.
No?
But one point.
Okay.
I think even in the present day of, I mean, dissemination of knowledge, we can regard such great scholars as al-Kulayni as everlasting examples of erudition and knowledge and being always in quest of knowledge.
Compared with them,
I think we can never call ourselves students, let alone scholars.
That's right. Thank you very much. Okay, now I want to get somehow to his demise as a brief analysis. Okay. Let's say that Sheikh al-Kulayni passed away in Baghdad in 329 AH, and the year he died is called Tanasir al-Nujum.
You know, that's why the year of breaking the stars, because during this year it was observed that a lot of stars appear to break and fall. Also, it was a year that saw the demise of the prominent ulama, like Khomeini himself, the father of Sheikh al-Saduq Ali ibn Bawai Qumi, and the 12th Imam special Naib or representatives, that is Ali ibn Muhammad, too died in Fang and passed away in this year. I would like to say that according to Christian calendar, it was the year 941 AD when he passed away, and his in fact Salat al-Mayyit, or the in fact the prayer over the dead body, was recited by Muhammad ibn Ja'far Hosseini Abu Gharrat. He is buried in Baghdad in Bab al-Kufa. This is the same street when he lived, and is located in the eastern Baghdad, and his grave exists there even today. Also, there are some stories about in fact the his body being fresh so many years after his demise, that somehow in fact it was devastated by some of the kings, but when get to the tomb, they found the body is still fresh, as like sleeping. And this is really nice about in fact the life of the ulama hereafter, Dr. Fakhruhani.
Yes.
However, it was very nice of you, doctor.
Welcome.
And a nice introduction to the works and life of Sheikh Al-Khulaini. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
And dear Muslims from around the world, all the staff of the program The Immortals, wish you enjoyed it. You can also refer to our website at www.coiradio.com. We'll be also happy with your comments, votes, and opinions on this program at coi@sinarab.ir. Wait for our upcoming programs under the title The Immortals from the Kalvistan Radio. Have a nice time and goodbye.